Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
The question is, does someone get voted off the deserted island because of not being well liked by the other ones? Or is it a matter of you're getting voted off because you're the least helpful in our survival?
Yeah, and who's detrimental to the cause?
Who's detrimental to our survival?
And you know what? I think that person is John Bishop. Because I think he'd get so angry and he would start fighting people.
But John has that older, he's gone through life and he knows how to just like fix things and figure out things. Like, you should see before some Creighton basketball games when like we're trying to get our equipment connected and he's just resourceful. I think it's either me or Josh.
Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, Game Time with Nick Baugh.
My favorite sports call, because it was like the Brent Musburger, 97 Missouri, cross to the middle, juggle, diving, caught, touchdown Nebraska, David. Like, I think that's one of the best, if not the best, play-by-play calls. And it also is nostalgia for me. And just like, I literally was a teenager, pretty much. And I remember I was in my basement watching that play. And when Davison caught it, I literally ran outside. I ran up the stairs screaming and ran outside screaming. It was amazing. It was the most I've freaked out probably watching any singular play.
Only on 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com and the 1620 The Zone app.
When you think about football and basketball, who are the untouchables? Saban, Urban Meyer, Mike Krzyzewski, like those kinds of guys. Rick Pitino was seemingly on that list where it was like, homeboy, nothing stuck to him. He was Teflon. All the different things that came at him, it just wouldn't really stick. And I think the fact that within 24 hours, Louisville makes a decision like this to put Rick Pitino on unpaid leave tells you the magnitude of this story. The I didn't know card, you use that card with the stripper sex parties that were going on 100 yards from your office. It's hard to do that again when a 5-star recruit commits to your program and it's figured out through an FBI investigation that recruit was paid $100,000.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh.
Pardon me, I flatulated. No, you farted. 1 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Been a good show. Tomorrow, Cougs, Munson. And we are going to get closer and closer and closer to Nebraska and Illinois. It's good to hear Chris Jones. It sounds like his recovery is really progressing at a fast rate. He wrote a long message to Husker Nation yesterday. He's returned to the practice field. It still remains to be seen whether or not he's actually going to return to the playing field this year. Again, I've always leaned towards he won't return, but he's certainly a lot further along than I think some people thought he would be. But there's a big difference between being medically cleared to play and even practicing and being totally game ready to jump in the middle of the season against the likes of Ohio State. I mean, it's like, would he be ready to guard Paris Campbell right now? I don't know about that. But we'll see. 402-951-1620. Eric Edholm's going to stop by in about 10 minutes, talk a little NFL. Certainly no shortage of things to talk about there. So there's legendary strength coach who's still with Nebraska down at the university as the assistant director of strength and conditioning chimed in on the Mike Riley debate, of course, talking about Boyd Epley. Yeah, Boyd yesterday, and paraphrasing his quotes, said that Mike Riley needs more time and that the talent isn't where it needs to be. First of all, when it comes to these comments, like that, I always consider the source and how it benefits them. You know what I mean? Like, there is an element of self-preservation at times with some of these assessments. Like, it's probably in Boyd's best interest to have Riley stay on. So I always consider the point of view of the source with some of this stuff. But that doesn't mean that Boyd is wrong. And that doesn't mean that he hasn't earned a lot of credibility in being able to speak on Nebraska, the state of the program, the talent level, all that stuff. Talking about a guy that's, in a lot of ways was, you talk about the huge pillar cornerstones of Nebraska building their dynasty up. Yeah, it's guys like Jack Stark. It's guys, of course, like Coach Osborne and all that. But like, it's also guys like Boyd Epley. And, I think there's no doubt that Nebraska's talent level isn't outstanding overall. Like, I don't see any studs. I don't see any all-conference players. First team all-conference dudes. But is Nebraska's talent level better than 4-6 in their last 10 games and a home loss to Northern Illinois? Yes. And that right there is the rub. That's the problem. See, the talent discussion is separate from the coaching discussion. Now, on some level, they intertwine. But let me ask you a question. Does this appear to be a well-coached team? Not really. Does it appear to be a program that improves its players while they're in Lincoln, in every day of practice? Not really. Who is dramatically better than they were 2 years ago? There's a few guys that have definitely improved, kind of. But I just always go back to that offensive line. And that's an indictment on player development. Again, I won't argue the talent discussion topic. Like I've said a bunch of, I don't see a bunch of elite talent out there. But is Nebraska void of talent to the point where they should be getting beat by Northern Illinois at home? God, I hope not. Are they void of talent to the point where they should be down 42-14 at half to Oregon? Getting beat 40-10 by Iowa? 62-3 at Ohio State? Almost losing to Arkansas State at home? Almost losing to Rutgers at home? I don't think so. That's what you got to ask yourself. And I think the answer is no. So I don't see a staff getting the most out of the talent they have. That's my thing. I don't see a staff maximizing player development with the guys that have been there under the staff's watch for 2.5+ years. I don't see that. So these discussions aren't that simple sometimes. They really aren't. Like, I feel like every year you look at, okay, you look at the roster, you look at the schedule, and you stack up where they should be. I don't know if Nebraska has gotten to where they should be with, in particular, the past 10 games. Which brings me to a point I hear all the time that I find so maddeningly, fascinatingly interesting. I hear this all the time, especially within the past week and a half when the loss to Northern Illinois and the hot seat discussion became real. You hear this from people all the time. Boy, we got to keep Riley on board to keep the recruiting class together. First of all, you don't make decisions about the future of your football program based on a group of 17 or 18-year-olds who have never played a down of college football. Just say that out loud. A huge part of the decision-making process should be these 17-year-olds that have never, they haven't even rolled in class in Lincoln. Yeah, Buki's supposed to be a stud. So was Lamar Jackson. So was Tanner Lee. And I just don't understand that logic behind, let's keep a coach who maybe isn't doing a great job in coaching and developing and all that, just so the coach can keep those incoming recruits. Like, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, if Riley isn't getting it, if he isn't getting it done, you'd rather hold on to a coach that you don't feel great about just for the sake of getting Buki and Joshua Moore? Really? That seems just like a line of logic I don't really understand. Because we get rid of Riley, we won't get Buki. Man, that is a school of thought that I just can't quite wrap my head around. You want to make a decision on the head coach based on a 17-year-old defensive back? And I get that recruiting is the one thing that Mike Riley has undeniably been pretty darn good at. I get that. But I feel like it's sometimes interesting to me. We always got to go back to almost reminding people, like, never forget what matters most, which is the season in actual games. So you got to stay focused on that. So this discussion on Riley is so nuanced and complex that you can't oversimplify it to just talent and recruiting. Is Nebraska void of talent? No, it's not void of talent. Do they have elite studs? No, I don't think so. Are they talented? Are they so void of talent that they should be in 4-6 in the last 10 games? No. Not at all. But you hear a guy like Boyd Epley say that, hey, Riley needs more time. Talent level isn't where it needs to be. You guys can do with that what you want. 402-951-1620. Let's grab Joe on the Hardest Hotline before we get to Eric at home. Hey, Joe.
What is up, Nick Ball?
What up, Joe?
I myself am sort of tired of this. Nebraska just doesn't have the talent rhetoric. Our recruiting classes are somewhat similar to Wisconsin, somewhat similar to Iowa.
Oh, they're better. They're better, Joe. They're better.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're better.
Unfortunately, we've been switching our systems, either the defensive coordinator or a brand new head coach or new assistant head coaches. Iowa, in my opinion, Wisconsin, in my opinion, even though Wisconsin has had some coaching changes, has done a better job of taking worse recruiting classes and developing those teams because they have a system. I don't know if Riley's the guy. I don't think we really could tell without giving him maybe a couple years. So far, he's a 500 coach, and we got to take that for what it is. But the player development, especially the QB development, of course, Lee's only been, you know, starting four games. But if I don't see development in the QB or some other player development, I think we got to get rid of him. But the continuity is what really helps develop a player. When a freshman comes in and he can ask the senior, hey, what do we do on this drill? Or what's my job? What's my responsibility? And the senior turns to him and says, I have no idea. Today's day one for me too, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we don't get that learning process that schools like Iowa get, where when a freshman comes in, Josie Jewell's first day is probably the same as what a freshman's coming in now asking Josie Jewell, hey, what do I do now?
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
Great player development. That's just my
Yeah, I agree, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, the biggest thing that programs like Wisconsin and Iowa have had over Nebraska is continuity and identity. They've had a continuity within their coaching staff from a philosophical standpoint that allows you to maximize player development. But in order to maximize player development, you have to have an identity. So it's a layered, nuanced thing. Judd tweets at me and says, been saying this since the announcement. The coach is more important than potential recruits. There's no debate. Exactly. I mean, to me, the fact that we even have to debate this is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. All right, let's take a break, and let's talk a little NFL. Eric Edholm. Certainly got a lot of things to talk about. Been an interesting couple of weeks of the National Football League. We'll talk with Eric when we come back.